Amen. Praise God for a faithful Redeemer. Praise God that He continues to prove to us on a consistent and on a regular basis that we matter to Him. You know, with so many things happening around us, it's encouraging to know that we serve a true and a living God, that on a regular basis, on a consistent basis, He proves to us that to Him we matter, each and every one of us. Amen. Today we will be in Acts, the 12th chapter. I want to go ahead and give you the chapter early so that you can go ahead and start turning to it. We'll find ourselves in verse 1 through 19. Again, that's Acts 12, 1 through 19. And as you turn to it, wanted to just kind of give you a little bit of history, and we'll pray in just a moment. But wanted to give you a bit of history. I want you to remember and imagine for a moment that you are that you're in Jerusalem right now, and the Passover is going on right now, according to Scripture. And as a church, you are tasked with maybe the most important prayer that you have prayed since Christ ascended. James has already been killed by Herod Agrippa, and Peter is in jail. Now, foundationally, we have to understand that this church at this time, the early church, were in crisis. They were in crisis because they saw their foundation, in their opinion, crumbling, and the only thing that they knew was to go to God in prayer. That is our foundation for today. Dear Father, we thank You for Your word today. Lord, we thank You that You are so faithful to us. Everything, God, about our lives and everything that around, that encircles us and that is a part of our lives, You have put it in motion. You've put it in play. And Lord, You love us so much that You continue to, by Your word, give us an understanding as to how we fit in the grand scheme of this thing called life. Today, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, bless me. Give me the ability and the strength to teach and to preach this word the way that You have given it to me. Let hearts and minds be blessed. Let there be clarity at the end of this word. Let Your people be empowered and strengthened to walk in a place of stability in You. We thank You for it, Lord. Meet needs, Lord. Everyone that came here today had a need and a desire that they wanted You to attend to and to deal with. So meet those needs today. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the people of God said, amen. Today, I'd like to teach from the subject, does your prayer life need an alignment? Again, does your prayer life need an alignment? And the word says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep them, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told him how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. When said they, it is an angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them, how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went unto another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stirring. The soldiers, what was become of Peter? And when Herod had sought for him, he found him not. He examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And I have to thank God today I'm wearing my glasses rather than my contacts. So that's a hallelujah moment for me. That'll teach me a lesson next time I wear contacts. But I want you to understand that this period of time was a time of crisis. This period of time was a time for the church of turmoil. If you remember in the gospel, Jesus had 12 disciples, and we know what happened with Judas. We know that Judas betrayed him. And then after Judas had betrayed him, we know that Matthias was chosen to take his place. But it still doesn't change the fact that throughout Scripture, it was Peter and James and John that was with Jesus in critical points and times of Scripture. It was they that were with him when he ascended on the mountain. And the Bible says that his face shone like the sun. It was they that were with him when he went in the room and he closed the door and he raised a little girl from the dead. They are the ones that were with him. They are the ones that Jesus constantly depended on, that he constantly tasked to pray, that he tasked to go beyond the request or beyond the demands of the other disciples. If you were to give a description, they were the disciples that had a higher level, a more consecrated prayer life. Amen? And so now the church sees that two of these three are imprisoned. And can you imagine the confusion at that time? Can you imagine the worry at that time? Can you imagine the pain at that time for them to feel like we have seen the Messiah crucified, but he ascended, so we have hope. But now we see that James, who is one of the three, has not only been captured by Herod, but he's been beheaded. What would that do to the church? To see a time where there's great expectation and we are praying, but what we prayed for doesn't happen. How many of us now have prayers, critical prayers, strategically placed prayers in our lives where we sought God and we said, it doesn't seem to have worked. It appears to me that God didn't answer the prayer. And so God sends us sermons like this today so that he can remind us that even in prayer, our prayer has to be aligned. And we'll talk about what alignment is. But he's letting us know that he still sits high, that he still looks low, that he still answers prayer for man today. And even if we don't understand the things that happen in our life, it doesn't change the fact that God understands it all. And so the thing that he concentrates on for us, and the thing that the Holy Spirit is also employed in as a part of the Godhead, is to help man to understand that our prayers have to line up with his will. Amen? And so now, let's look for a second about and get an understanding of this this term, quaternion. This quaternion term in history meant that there were two soldiers that were at the gate or at the door outside of where the prisoners were, and there were two soldiers that were literally shackled to the prisoner himself. This was not a common thing. This was a special thing that made sure that that person would not escape. And in history, if you had the pleasure, and I'll put that in quotes, of being shackled to a prisoner and somehow he escaped, you knew that your life was ended. And so now we see that Peter is praying. But it's a strange thing that happened as we see Peter in jail. He falls asleep. And I want to draw a correlation between the Peter that fell asleep at Gethsemane and the Peter that fell asleep in the jail. Because the Peter that fell asleep at Gethsemane, the Peter that fell asleep there knew who Christ was. He believed in who Jesus was, but he didn't have a revelation of the power of Jesus to deliver. And so he slept in a place of ignorance. But this Peter, however, fell asleep, sleeping in a place of peace. The scripture saying he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on him. And I want us to understand that there are oftentimes, as we go through the things that God allows us to experience in life, that we find ourselves becoming very, very tired, mentally tired, emotionally tired, not understanding often the things that we deal with. And a strange thing happens. The Holy Spirit gets us to a place where we feel like we just want to give up and we want to throw in the towel. And we don't want to go another step. And I want to encourage you, if you're in that place today where you have prayed to God and you're tired because it doesn't seem like he's heard you. You're tired because it doesn't seem like he's answering you. I want you to understand that as you continue to submit to God and you continue to look for him and search for his will and search for the place that he wants you to be in, that there will come a time where he will give you a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that is beyond anything that you could place yourself in. And you will feel as if you are asleep, as if you have given up. But I encourage you today that the same God that sent the angel to deliver Peter in the jail is the same God that is sending help to deliver you from your jail today. It doesn't matter if your jail is depression. It doesn't matter if your jail is confusion. It doesn't matter if your jail is sickness. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if your jail is struggling with your finances. It does not matter. We all have a jail that we find ourselves in from time to time. And Scripture is given so that we will understand that God sees where we are, that our prayers are not hitting the ground, but they are indeed are rising to heaven, and God will answer. Amen. And so we see him praying. We see the church praying. And I want to submit a thought, just something for us to consider today. When we think about this word alignment, alignment is defined as arrangement in a straight line or in correct or appropriate relative position. So alignment is not just about praying a certain way. Alignment is about the timing of the prayer. Because proper prayer has as much to do with timing as it does position. See, when we are thinking about something being aligned, we're thinking about it being placed in a straight line. But according to Oxford Dictionary, alignment is just not about praying in a straight line or lining this thing up in a straight line. It is about the space and the sequence of the prayer. And to make that clearer, let's use this example. In Luke 22 and 42, it says, saying, Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And as I was studying, the Lord gave me an understanding. He said, my son prayed in the garden and asked me if I would remove the cup from him. His prayer was, Father, take this away. But he remembered that my will was more important. This same son, however, on the cross, did not pray that he be taken down from the cross. And so the example that we have that prayer has to have proper timing and proper sequence is that Jesus in Gethsemane was at a different time of his assignment. And so he could pray, Father, take this away. But when he got on the cross, it would have been out of alignment. It would have been out of time, out of the will of God for him to pray for a difference. Each one of us today, as we are praying, we have to remember that prayer has to line up with the will of God for us. But prayer also has to be, God, put me in your timing. Because if God gives you something out of time, you will not be ready for it. If God, many of us today, were to give us $1 million, but we have not learned to manage money, we haven't learned to budget, it would not be good for us. If God was to give us the job or a position or a career change that we have been praying for and desiring for a long time, but we don't have discipline and we're not able to be at work on time and we're not able to deal with people and to have camaraderie and oneness with groups and with people, it would be out of time. So we have to take the example of Jesus Christ in saying there is a time to pray. And we as Christians have to know how we pray and when we pray. The early church prayed that James would not be killed, but he was. They prayed that Peter would not be killed, but he was saved. It was the same God that allowed James to be martyred is the same God that allowed Peter to be redeemed and to be saved. And so now let's look at our time now. For a moment, in this nation, we've had an amazing, amazing election. And whether you voted on one side or the other, as Christians, as a Christian church, we still must pray that God's will be done. We still must pray, God, you know what you are doing. And even if I don't understand it, and even if I have been praying a certain way for a certain thing, you're the same God yesterday that you are today. And you'll continue to be the same God tomorrow. Our prayer life has to align to the point where when we pray, we don't pray in our understanding. We pray according to faith. We pray and we say, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Reveal your will to us. In our families, God, there are things happening in my family I don't understand. But Lord, let your will be done. It is the alignment of the church in the will of God that says we serve an almighty God that we trust is still in control. Now, if I trust that God is still in control, then my faith will take me to a place that my understanding can never carry me. If I trust that God is still in control, then my worship and my prayer life will take me to a place where my eyes, my physical understanding cannot comprehend. It is a commitment to the will of God being done that causes us to pray in a way that is in line and on time with God. As we see that this is during Passover. Passover. And if you understand history, Passover was the time that Israel, the Jews, were free. It was the time that they left Egypt. This is a time, according to Scripture, says the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was a space of time that the prayer of the church says we are praying in the time that we recognize the deliverance of God. But how did James die? You delivered our whole nation. But why did James die? You know, sometimes when we're, and let's be real, when we are looking at some of the stuff that we deal with, we're challenged. Because on the one hand, God will deliver us and he'll blow our mind and he'll cause us to have a faith that is elevated because we see the mercy of God. We see the move of God. And then suddenly, on something that would be so simple, he allows it to go another way. And without getting into a lot of detail here in our church, there's some things we expected. Hallelujah. We said, God, this is lining up real well. And we're walking in faith and we're rejoicing and we're praying and we're thanking God for what he's getting ready to do. And suddenly it died. Hallelujah. Now, where does a church stand when we believed in an almighty God that has the ability to touch men's hearts and change people's minds and help them to line up with his will, only to find that this thing that we desired has died? I'm here as a preacher today to tell you that just because James died, Peter didn't have to. And just because one thing has died, God is able to resurrect for us another opportunity. At this time when we stand as the Jews in that room praying throughout every city and throughout every province of the area, asking for deliverance for Peter and James, and they saw James die, God delivered Peter. He is a God of second chances. And for us, there will be a second chance. So what will we do in the meantime? Will we stop praying because we saw something die? Or will we continue to hold up the bloodstained banner that says that I serve the one and only true God, who is able to take life and give life, and also able to give a second chance? I'm here today to encourage our church. I'm here today to let you know that just because one thing has passed away, God is in the process of delivering us to another opportunity. And for many of us, we are asleep right now because of the pressure and the weight of the prayer that we've been lifting up, because of the time that we have been praying and asking God for this remedy. But today, I'm here to tell you and to encourage you and let you know that God has another way for us. And even as we would feel like our chance for redemption and for deliverance is gone, God has already sent a remedy for us. Whenever we look in Matthew 19 and 26, it helps us to know how we should deal with situations in prayer. Matthew 19 and 26 says, But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible," instructing us that we should resist the fear of inadequacy. Because, see, when you've been looking for something and expecting something and it doesn't happen, there's this feeling of inadequacy that could come in. This feeling that you're not able to move and to push this thing into existence. But we have to remember that it is not by our might, it is not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And if God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for this church, who can be against us? If God is saying that He is going to take us to a place where we flourish, then who can be against that? I'm here today to encourage us. Just because one thing died, it does not mean that God does not have life still available for us. In Matthew 28 and 20, it says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So we have to resist the fear of abandonment. See, when we are praying like the early church in Jerusalem, when we are praying and asking God for deliverance, we have to battle, and we got to be real about the fact that we battle. Has God abandoned us? We asked you for this, and it didn't occur. Have you abandoned us? But according to Scripture, it says, "Behold, I'm with you always." So the encouraging word today for this church is that the same God that was with us when this church got its first breath many years ago, when this church first started, He's the same God that is breathing life in us today. And never count out what God has breathed into. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15 said, "And He said, 'Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" So we have to resist the fear of impending defeat. Right when God is about to deliver us, Satan works on our psyche to cause us to feel like it's going to be another defeat. We're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to do what you're expecting. God is not going to do what you want. But I'm here today to tell you, this has never been our battle. This has never been our battle. This has always been the battle of the Lord. And when God is for us, we have everything that we need. We have wisdom to make decisions in the moments that they need to be made. We have strength to stand the course and continue to be the people of God that He has called us to be. We have the responsibility of standing on post and doing the will of God until help comes. Today is a day of hope, not loss. It's a day of hope and not despair. And just as we see this young girl come to the door, Peter knocking inside, they're dealing with two emotions. The emotion that says we prayed, but it didn't work. And the emotion that says let's keep on praying and have hope. That's the emotion that is in the church today, in this church. We have the emotion that says it doesn't seem to have worked, coupled with the emotion that says we serve an almighty God who is worthy to be praised and in whom we can trust and rely on. And when they are dealing with these two emotions at the same time, hope arrives. I would challenge us today. Let's listen for hope. Let's look for hope. Let's encourage each other's heart and let each one of us know that hope is on the way. And just as God delivered Peter back to his assignment, God is delivering us to our assignment. Peter was in jail. That wasn't his assignment. His assignment was to go to a place where God could use him. Sounds like us. Our assignment is to be in a place where God can use us. And today is our day to maintain our hope and to allow our prayers to be aligned. God, you're still God. And I see what has occurred. But in spite of that, let your will be done. And every step along the way, you're hearing me saying, God, you're able, and let your will be done. With every decision, you'll hear me saying, God, you're able, let your will be done, and I'm going to still keep standing. I am not going to give up. I am not going to give in. I'm going to stand and I'm going to see your salvation. Amen. That's where we are today.